welcome to Checkpoint by Finance Middle East. I'm Nabeda Dainand, and today I'm joined by Zoltan Rendis, partner and chief marketing officer at Dubai-based Sun Money Solar Group. He's also an European Union Climate Pact ambassador, and we're going to be talking about renewable energy and global environmental policies. Thank you for joining us, Zoltan. How are you doing this morning?
Thank you for inviting me. Great to be here at Finance Middle East and Checkpoint.
So let's jump right in. So renewable asset-backed cryptocurrency tokens are gaining attention for providing secure and transparent investment opportunities in renewable energy. Could you explain how these tokens work and how they ensure transparency and security for investors interested in sustainable assets?
Let me start with what we did in the non-crypto world before, because that explains a lot how we got to tokenized money-making assets and tokens. Sun Money Solar Group was launched in 2013. What we do is we build or buy solar power plants, solar assets, renewable energy assets. We maintain and support these parks, and we let people to buy in to these parks. They buy in capacity and related to rights related to capacity. And what we do is we sell the electricity on our clients' behalf, and we give them the revenues every month and based on the size of their share. So basically, 2 years ago, we thought we were looking at blockchain for a long, long time because of its transparency, the ease of transactions. It's more sustainable. It's more efficient, and not just efficient in the speed, but efficient as electricity usage. So we were looking at it as a new platform for doing something. So we basically took our original business model, already existing like 50,000 clients from 60 countries, and we made the same a community solar power program in the blockchain world or the blockchain ecosystem. Of course, it's very trendy these days to tokenize assets. It depends a lot on what kind of asset you want to tokenize, because you can tokenize a lot of things like restaurants, hotels, the real estate, and it will have a different dynamic. And the blockchain and all the crypto world is becoming more like the real financial world. Now it's regulated, or in a lot of ways regulated, and in a lot of geographies it's regulated. So people are looking for the same. People have their risk-taking attitude, and some take big wild risks with different tokens there or coins there on the exchanges, and day trade and impulsively invest and make or lose money. Some are looking already for steady long-term returns on blockchain. And I think it's becoming stronger and stronger. There's a huge traction. Like recently we were exhibiting at Paris Blockchain Week, and the buzzword is tokenized assets. So everybody is looking for these solutions with steady incomes for long-term, and even with vesting periods and all that involved. And the good thing about renewables, why it's appealing, because it's typically a long-term investment. This is not impulsive investment. And if we look at what happened to renewable energy in the last decade, you see that the camel caravan is actually speeding up in a good way, bringing in better shipments, yields, revenues for the renewable energy investment companies. And there are a lot of opportunities popping up in the world. And as they say, until we fight against climate change, in this case, there is hope. Until there is hope, there is love. And until there is love, there will be life, and it will prevail.
It's very interesting and very detailed, very fascinated here. So now shifting to the industry, so global environmental policies such as green finance rules are significantly influencing investment trends in renewable energy. So how do you see policies impact existing investment patterns, and what role do they play in shaping the future of renewable energy investments?
Policies, government, regional, even continent level. If you look at the EU, it's most of it is applied to the whole continent and even beyond the EU countries. Or if you look at the US, it's a continent, basically US and Canada. So those policies shape the world and the market in renewable energy. If you look at India, what happened in the last couple of years, like before that, you cannot even hear renewable energy, solar as a buzzword. The government started to push incentives behind it, started to draw in attention from international companies to come in and invest and made good terms, conditions for investment environment for them, good financing, all that what you need for this. And it's skyrocketing. Whole region is now designated as this is going to be like one of the biggest onshore solar power plant areas in the world. And that's amazing. And we have been investing in our assets, investing in Europe and in Central Eastern Europe, because Central Eastern Europe has the biggest backlog of not doing it for years and years. So incentives, financing are very favorable, give you very favorable conditions. But we are always looking for pioneering countries who starting it, even looking at India. We really want to get into the Indian market. You see, there is will, you know, there is a way, but will has to come. And some countries like the US, and this is not critics about politics, but because of other policies and political battles, renewable energy kind of like shifted to the back room. Like it was so dominant for years and years that you could see what they do in California, how they turn to recycling, like green project, green tech. It was very dominant in even in media, but it was very dominant as a field in economy. Now you cannot really hear about it because it's all lost in the political buddy battles of politics. And it is very much dependent on favorable policies. It's a financial business as any business. So basically, if it looks good in Excel, you're going to invest. And that makes it what renewable energy investment companies need, and any investor in the renewable energy field needs, is good terms for financing, incentives from the government, and tax cuts. And that makes it good. And of course, long-term contracts for intake of electricity, feed-in tariff, as they call it, or a good purchase price for stable, even with the frequency of electricity market, like it was a Wild West market since COVID, and electricity prices skyrocketed in a lot of countries, in Europe especially. It was better to have your long-term contract with state for a country for your solar power plants than go out to the Wild West and try to make big money in a short-term high-frequency market. So I think we need to tame electricity prices. And one of the key things is to put green energy behind electricity and make it more stable. And that's a government and regional policy thing to do, to put the horsepower behind renewable energy. And then there are very different dynamics, of course. And let's talk a bit about UAE, where we are. Here, the government took the role. What in Europe, governments don't take the role of building renewable energy assets, or rarely in the percentage as UAE. But since UAE is a rich country with a stable economy, it could afford to build renewable asset for the whole country. And one of the biggest onshore continuous solar power plants, amazing, I've been out there, is here and still in development. So that's a very different dynamic. And in the Gulf, there are some other countries who are pushing in the same direction. They have the money, they invest as they would invest in roads. And I like that. I wish like Europe had the money for something like that to push in.
You touched on a very interesting point, that is policies and how renewable energy is sort of sidelined. So realistically speaking, factoring in inflation, recession, geopolitical crisis, and other things that the world is going through right now, realistically, when do you think countries will shift their focus to renewable energy and think, hey, we have to address this right now?
Great question. And I have an answer. It's not the ultimate truth, because if I knew that, then I would be sitting at someplace else. So it's probably top of the mountain or escaping from a crowd of people somewhere. It's a troubled world and a lot of problems. War, recession, as you said, high inflation rates, and depression among the people. Climate change is looming as a potential apocalypse any day now, and in some people's heads. What we don't get in terms of climate change, and what maybe we get it, but politicians are surely caught up in their little fights of red or blue. And We forget that climate change is not a spectacular show as an apocalypse. It's not like what we see on these big disaster movies or Walking Dead or any. We can relate to those somehow because they are popular. It's a slow apocalypse and we are living in it. The water scarcity issues and the heat waves now in India, climate related. And we even today, we could make up headlines for any news channel just from climate change. We need to understand that this thing is a complex change which takes lives now. Not just infrastructure, you know, not just some species are going extinct, plants or animals. It's endangering humanity. And people ask me, why do you think that when we are overpopulated on a planet, that we are endangered species? Indirectly, I think we are, because this is going to be just in, if we leave it like it is, it's going to take away more and more lives. And sooner or later, bigger chunks of people will be victims of climate change and fatally victims of climate change. But also, it takes away, even now, from a lot of people in this world, takes away the chance to live a good life. And good life, I'm not talking about yachts or jet setting or big holidays, but takes away the minimum to live a good life, like that you have water, that you have the stability of ground under you and a roof above you. And that is already some kind of an apocalypse. And I'm turning back to renewable energy, and I know I went around a bit. I wanted you to understand where I'm coming from with this, that renewable energy should be the protagonist today, and not just renewable energy, anything in terms of decarbonization, any green tech. Like, we heavily invested now in a zero emission tire recycling machine, and we are pushing it out on the market this year. It's amazing. Like, it can recycle 10 tons a day with the electricity from renewables, which is like the electricity usage of a hairdryer. And this is big machine with zero, absolutely zero emissions. And this could change the world in a very good way. But people and companies, private sector should focus on this. And I think the key is the communities and the private sector. You know, I'm not morose about this, never had much for politicians, but we cannot expect that these politicians, international organizations will save us. We see that they are caught up in formalities and red or blue fight. We need to turn up our sleeves and start to do ourselves. And as a company, that's what we are doing. And we see that luckily, there are a lot of companies who are doing that. And communities are changing, and we need to take practices, best practices from these communities. And there are miraculous, for instance, in Peru, where there is water scarcity as well. You know, they put up these mesh nets to catch the fog and make water. That's miraculous. Like, we survive so much as humanity. We can overcome so much. Just we need to look always for our smart, out-of-the-box thinkers and rely on them. What works for that place can work for another place. The first step is not even recycling or not even renewable energy. First step is being open. And we need to open up the world, give hope and all that. But renewable energy is key, of course. And I'm going to take a little detour from here, because I hear this debate, and of course mostly politicians at big corp debating on fossil fuels versus renewables, but it was never a fight. This is evolution we are talking about. We know that we are going to run out from fossil fuels. We need to find new ways. Renewable energy is perfect for that, and it's not going to be from one day to another. We need fossil fuels to actually operate our societies, our industries. We cannot just build 100 gigawatts a day of renewable energy, and we need to find new ways, innovate for that. You know, maybe in 10 years we're going to have solar panels which will be just one square meter, but they can actually yield a megawatt. So I'm just a long shot, but innovation can make big change. So we need to be a bit soft on these debates, softer on these debates, and we need to come to our senses that this is an evolution, and we need to help this evolution, but we don't need to be on two sides of this. We should just come to our senses that this is evolution, this will happen, we're going to run out of it, and we need to prepare for a new era. And in that moment, when we understand that, then this is going to be all taken up from here.
100%. I'm with you on every single point, because I think it's about time we address it. At the same time, we need to have a soft approach and not condone anyone for their actions. At the same time, support them towards a bigger cause. Thank you very much, Zoltan. That was very, very insightful. For more such stories, head to financemiddleeast.com and make sure you check back next week for another exciting podcast.
I want to add at the end just a little note here, and I finish every speech and every interview with this sentence. And I turn to the people who believe or might not believe in climate change, that make no mistake, this planet will survive. The only question is if it survives with or without us. So make up your mind.